Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name is John, and with me as always is Steve. How are you doing?
Hey John, I'm always here. How are you?
Good, good. So Robinhood is actually hiring people to do help with their customer service. Maybe too little, too late?
Maybe not. It's really interesting. So it seems like their play is now to broaden what they do and go from sort of the standalone robo trading app to now maybe a more first full service solution. Who knows? But apparently they hired folks from Fidelity and Merrill Lynch. Although the kick here is that they're actually not doing any advisory, they're actually just doing customer service.
That's what a lot of people were complaining about. And oh, they're hiring from Fidelity. My God, good luck to them. Let's see what goes on with that. Well, some people like to do things right from the very beginning. And some experience kind of helps with that. Fortunately, this week we have Ed O'Brien, the CEO of eMoney Advisor, who's actually going through this growth process and has some good insight on this market. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks, guys, and really good to be here. I appreciate your inviting me on.
And yes, just joking before, because nothing against Fidelity, just that's part of Ed's background. Well, let's start off with a little bit about what eMoney Advisor actually does.
Sure, happy to do that. And probably for a lot of folks who've never heard of eMoney, that's because our software is really made available to financial advisors and financial planners to help create better financial plans for their customers. So, we're often sometimes, the software that's behind the scenes. And oftentimes it's white labeled so that even the advisor gets to use their own brand. And we serve today 75,000 advisors and financial planners of all shapes and sizes, from some of the largest financial institutions in the US, all the way to, standalone financial advisors that may choose an hourly fee for planning type of model. So there's a big spectrum of financial advisors and professionals that we serve today. And all of it is really designed around helping them create better financial plans and better outcomes for their clients.
So a lot of people might be your customers down the line and not even know it, but benefiting from what you provide to their financial planners. So you might be listening right now. You might be the eMoney advisor might be the one powering your investments. What do you see the strongest demand for in what you provide for these financial advisors?
Well, I think the demand is pretty broad-based, and I mean that because for eMoney, we just celebrated 20 years, and for a good portion of that time, financial planning was something that was offered usually on the high end of the wealth spectrum. And I think what we're seeing more and more is that there's a financial plan that meets the need for any client at any point in their financial lives. And we're seeing a lot more advisors getting, very, very aggressive with offering financial planning, even at very early stage clients and those that need help with things like debt management and budgeting and spending, and not so much things like estate planning or tax planning. So eMoney over these past 20 years has really evolved to make sure that we can support financial planning no matter what it means to that advisor or that individual client. So yeah, funny story, you mentioned it. As recently as just about a month ago, my own brother-in-law had worked with an advisor. And he let me know, and we never really talked about the fact that whether he was using eMoney, but then he told me about a lifetime cash flow report that he recently saw. And of course, I know that's eMoney. So it's very, very often that a lot of clients that because today we serve over 4 million households when you start to look through that 75,000 advisors and planners, but it's pretty common that many don't know that those are the technologies that they're using.
That's a massive number, Ed. I'm wondering, from a bank perspective, right? I see the benefit of using something like eMoney, where you're basically white labeling the solution. But how are you able to differentiate among all the other offerings? It seems like every company now has some sort of white label wealth advisory or advisory solution now? So what's the key ingredient here?
The key ingredient for us is we are laser focused on financial planning. And so I think what you find is there's a lot of technology offerings available to advisors and many that are needed, things like helping with account opening, things like being able to help with CRM. And so our sort of expertise is in around how do we make advisors the best financial planners they can be. There's one thing I've just crossed my 5 years here at eMoney. And the one thing I've come to recognize is just because you give an advisor software does not make them a financial planner. So when we think about what we do best, it's the bringing together of both the best technology that supports financial planning, but all of the training and development and content to really help an advisor do the best job they can at creating better financial outcomes through financial planning. And it's a combination of those things. I think if you try to separate them, we'd be doing a disservice to our clients. And so that's where when folks ask why, you know, I like eMoney's position in the industry, it's because we're able to do all of that and not just sort of the technology platform.
So it's a lot more focused. Where do you see the industry evolving nowadays? As I mentioned, there seems to be a lot of what I'll call new players, new well-funded VC funded players getting into the space. But then you have companies like Fidelity, which actually owns eMoney, mm-hmm. Vanguard, and the rest. What do you think this will look like in 5 years from now?
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of investment into the vertical through private equity and venture capital. So, I don't see any time in the near term the number of new entrants of new players slowing. And I think that in a way is really good. It creates lots of choice. And I think, you know, by the nature of more competition, it sort of makes us all up our game. For eMoney, I think over the past 5 years, we've certainly evolved our platform to make sure that we're relevant to every advisor and planner rather than just sort of the highest end of the spectrum. And that's important because I think one of the trends that we're latching on to is the fact that even though the number of advisors has been relatively flat or maybe even shrinking in the industry, we hang our hat on the idea that the underlying demand for financial advice is as strong as it's been and continues to grow. We believe that through the mechanism, the means for which more investors start to get into the market, get more interested in financial, sort of outcomes, that financial planning will also sort of ride that wave as well. So I think that if you look 5 years out, you will continue to see more options for both advisors and their clients to do a better job of financial planning. We consider ourselves sort of on the forefront of that, continuing to invest and look for where the opportunities and the needs are in the market.
Yeah, it seems a lot more people have been investing, even haphazardly with a bit with the meme stocks and the GameStop and all that. Uh-huh. But hopefully that's driving more interest in becoming more, handling their money smarter and more in a long-term way. Have you seen that reflected in demand on your side over the past year?
Certainly. And again, I think it's showing up in the fact that we have more advisors than ever starting to get creative with ways that they offer financial planning services. We recently launched, in fact, just in January of this year, a new platform that we call eMoney Incentive. And it's designed to help bring the power of financial planning into the hands of an employee. We serve lots of advisors who work with retirement plan sponsors or 401k plans, and so it's a way for someone to start to sort of get introduced to some of the very basics of financial planning, including things like How do I save for a rainy day fund? How do I make sure that I have the right level of debt management? How do I think about my spending versus savings? And these are all the right behaviors. So, you know, I think the fact that people are getting more interested in investing will very naturally come around to that. Yes, there's a time and a place for investing, and some of it aggressive, but there's also a time and a place for making sure that I have the right liquidity and sort of the right protection around my financial life as well. So, you know, I sort of believe in this, you know, rising tide floats all boats here, and that as people get more interested in investments in general, they'll also become more interested in the broader, you know, financial needs of their life.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that there's this kind of a pushback, right? People trying to not so much invest, but make some statement by going with GameStop or going against the establishment or Wall Street. You know, I saw people were taking a physical delivery of silver to manipulate the market. And then now Dogecoin has been on a volatile ride. Do you think as maybe part of your offering or on the financial advisor side, that puts more pressure on them to have to, you know, educate that they should have these long-term things, that it's not just a toy they can, you know, wave around, or that there is more need for educating?
I'm a firm believer that that's true. In fact, one of the nice things about our platform is because it has aggregation capabilities for, you know, all of your financial assets and liabilities, it can help the advisor bring everything together for their client and give them the full picture. And like I say, there's, depending on where you are and sort of the needs of financial management, then there's a time and a place for things like having more aggressive investments versus those that need to be more stable or are conservative. But that only comes through when you start to look at the full picture. And so I think, you know, we'd all agree that the danger is where, you know, people are sort of over-indexed or, you know, sort of way overweighted in very aggressive investments versus having a sort of a balanced view. So one of the things I really think that has helped us these past couple of years as clients are coming to advisors looking for help, we offer a really quick way to say, now I see everything and I can help you think about what an appropriate portfolio asset allocation does look like, no matter what point on the wealth spectrum you are.
And you provide a tool. So you're asset agnostic. If they have a crypto investments, Ethereum, a Doge or whatever, that can filter through your product as part of, let's say they do have it as part of their risky portfolio.
Yeah,
you can manage any type of investment. It still shows up as part of your account aggregation in your system.
Yes, that's correct, and it'll show up. You know, with the advisor gets a clear view of that, they can work with their client, and it's importantly, it's both. It's the asset side and also liabilities. I think for a lot of you know, I'm a firm believer. You really can't do a good job of financial planning without looking at the liability side of a client's balance sheet, right? And so, again, that has a big impact or big influence on how you might think about what types of investments or what type of investment strategies are appropriate. But yeah, and even down to, we have some advisors, and this is, I think, becoming more common. We have more advisors that are starting to talk more to their clients about spending, because we also do have the ability for the advisor and their client, like the client would have to opt in to sharing the transaction level of their spending with an advisor. But, you know, I'm, you know, maybe I'm old school here, but I still believe when you're working with a client that's early stage, you know, the two biggest levers that you have are time and the spending versus savings trade-off. And so if you can get clients earlier thinking about spending versus saving and what's appropriate, and then investing, you know, versus what I need to keep sort of more in conservative and more stable, you know, assets, I think that sets people up for, you know, a very good sort of long-term view of their financial health. And so we see that a lot more. And I think that's a change from where when financial planning, I think, was more offered on the higher end of the wealth spectrum, folks that had already accumulated, spending wasn't so much a factor other than helping me project what I'm going to need post-retirement, i.e. if I'm spending $2,000 a month, am I going to need $1,000 or $3,000 when I retire, depending on how I think about retirement. But we're clearly seeing through the take-up and aggregation, a lot more people tracking their spending versus saving through our tools like incentive.
Yeah, like how those $500 sneakers today might cost you some income in the future.
Right. And yeah, it's my, but my kids would try to convince me that they put those into their investment portfolio as an investment.
Some of them are. A little bit crazy. Yeah, there's an exchange for those, yeah.
There is, yeah.
You mentioned the importance of having a holistic view of your data. I know that recently you joined the Financial Data Exchange. Can you talk us through the rationale for doing so and what benefits you see in sharing information about assets and spending and sort of getting the entire financial picture of a client from your perspective?
Sure. Happy to. And this is work that goes back a couple of years now here at eMoney. And without getting into too much detail, you know, one of the challenges that has always existed in this business of trying to do a good job of aggregating the financial picture for a client is that, you know, you don't always have direct connections into the financial institutions that have most of this data. So there's been a drive toward creating a more standard way through APIs for which, you know, businesses like eMoney have a standard way to authenticate in a really secure and a more stable way, and also a better relationship with those financial institutions with making sure that we can manage volume, make sure that we're cognizant of where fraud and threats may be. And so just 2 years or so ago, we set out on this path to try to drive toward much higher use of APIs at eMoney and connecting to financial institutions. And we've made great progress. We've made tremendous progress there. But I will say, summarize it, it's important to us because we really believe that gathering that data helps drive better financial outcomes for both the advisor and their client. And the more that we can do it in a reliable and secure fashion, everyone benefits. And so that's, you know, very simply why we're involved in those efforts and why we continue to sort of push the envelope on getting more connections through APIs.
So what are the big challenges for an eMoney advisor these days in terms of expansion, in terms of hiring, technology? What's holding you guys back that you'd like to, an obstacle you'd like to get rid of if you could?
Oh, gosh, good question. You know, I would say, you know,
and you can't say all competitors.
No, I feel blessed many days because I think for the most part, we have a lot more, you know, sort of wind in our sails at eMoney than we do headwinds. And I think that's just because the nature of there's more demand for financial advice. And that's showing up through, you know, every advisor and planner that we serve. So our growth has been really good. We in fact, the first quarter of 2021 has been our best quarter on record in many ways. So including number of new users, you know, the revenue drivers of the business. So very, very healthy. You know, I think it's more of an opportunity and a challenge for not just eMoney, I think the industry is, you know, how do we start to scale the financial planning proposition and make it more readily available? I think we're making some good steps forward with tools like incentive. But, you know, I think in a lot of the data we see and a lot of the interviews that we conduct, there's still a really strong demand for having the hybrid model where, you know, personal advice meets sort of the automation. And so that's where we continue to evolve our proposition and making sure that we're making the investments to help scale through technology wherever we can automate at eMoney. And I think that's helping our advisors get to be able to serve more clients, You know, that's where I think we have to, as an industry, start to think about there's more people who need advice in financial planning than currently there are advisors in the industry to serve them. And so if you could look at that as a problem or an opportunity, I choose the latter. And I think it's through sort of these continued investments in trying to make the process, you know, more streamlined, more automated where we can, and then preserving more of the advisor's time to actually work with clients in a you know, more human basis.
Or any technology that you see then, that anything in AI or automation where you're like, oh, I'd love to see that move forward a few years. That's pretty interesting or helpful.
Yeah, you know, I think AI is you know, sort of thinking out over the next 5 years. I think AI is one of those tools that really can help to streamline the planning process. In some of the things that today, where we have, you know, people spending time gathering fact data to build a financial plan, I think those are, you know, very, very good targets for things like AI to help us, you know, sort of drive through and get better efficiency in how we offer financial planning. You know, so yeah, I think AI is definitely a big factor in sort of the next 5 years here of financial planning. And you know, oh, the other thing I'd add there is, you know, I think we're also on this cusp of where AI needs the data, where we actually, I think as an industry now have, because of the sort of buildup and the number of financial plans, the number of clients and planning, we actually have really good data to start to, you know, drive, you know, better AI.
So looking at a more macro view here, what have you seen in terms of the metrics related to how all this government stimulus has affected, you know, financial planning and spending in 2020? Is that something that you can track given where your platform is, or do you not have insight into the movements that your customers see?
You know, I don't think we've looked at anything that specific. And I think that's the Steve, that was your question with respect to sort of the spending or the outflows based on stimulus. That's not anything that we've looked at, unfortunately.
Got it. Okay. I just recall I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's a good question. You're making me think, and I don't have anything sort of offhand to respond to you with.
Yeah, I go back to the theory that a lot of the craziness of the last year with all the meme stocks, just because of one, the stimulus, boredom, the need to gamble, and I'm wondering whether that had any effect on financial planning as well, or was it just crazy stock stuff?
No, the one thing we did through the last year and through the COVID pandemic, we do know, because we asked advisors and their clients, it was really clear that clients who had a financial plan with advisors felt a lot better about the impact of the pandemic on sort of stress levels, and we saw that show up in you know, those clients were more comfortable. They weren't calling advisors as much. They all just felt better. And in fact, it was the fourth quarter of last year, we asked advisors about how the pandemic shaped their relationships with clients. And the vast majority of advisors that had financial plans in place with their clients responded that it deepened their relationship and positively impacted their ability to connect with clients. It was like, as I recall, and Joanna, I think it was 4 out of 5 advisors that believed that the current environment had impacted their ability positively to connect with clients. It was pretty impressive.
That's a massive shift. Do you think that the whole advisor-customer relationship will change in the future, now that everyone's doing things like, you know, Zoom, and we have, I know that when I used to work in brokerage, we were looking at things like personalized video and having more Zoom calls with clients. So how do you think the pandemic will change that relationship?
Great question. In the early part of the pandemic, in like April and May of 2020, we saw the e-money through our platform. We actually have screen sharing and remote capabilities built into the platform. And we had advisors that had never used them before all of a sudden took off. And so it became, you know, something that was there, and advisors had, you know, sort of different levels of how they had used it, to where I'd say today is it's pretty standard practice for advisors now to be using, whether it's, you know, Zoom plus screen sharing. Those are things that they use pretty readily. The other thing that's increased a lot is our platform has document sharing and vault capabilities. And so that became very valuable. The ability to still get your tax information uploaded to the vault for your advisor or things like that. So we saw some dramatic sort of takeoff in advisors and clients working in a more digital fashion. There's no way that that goes away. And I think it's just sort of was a strong impetus to take advantage of technologies that have existed. And so, yeah, I think that continues. There's no question that advisors have become much more creative with digital capabilities over this past year. And I think that certainly has driven some efficiencies in their business.
So maybe things that they wouldn't have been comfortable doing, everyone just kind of got pushed forward into mm-hmm. using these tools. Part of that acceleration on everything, actually, yes. Like the e-commerce and this market as well.
You know, we host an annual summit for eMoney and all of our clients each year. It's usually in the October, November timeframe. And so we made a pretty quick shift, and we moved it all online. Last year, we had record turnout with respect to number of advisors. And the one thing that I remember is even things like conferences. Oftentimes when you're dealing with advisor firms, and these are firms that might be, you know, 10, 20 people, it's not like everyone can sort of, you know, take a week off and go to the eMoney conference. And so oftentimes there was a choice of like who at that office was going to attend the eMoney conference. One of the silver linings from last year, we heard from many firms that they were able to have many of their planners and advisors attend our conference because it wasn't like one person had to sort of get up and go. They could all attend and sort of pick and choose the content that was interesting. And so we had some, you know, like some really good feedback with that as an outcome of this pandemic. And so, you know, we're going to continue to have our conference remote again this year. But I will tell you, it's something that we are thinking about, making sure that we don't want to sort of take a step back when we saw all of a sudden this great take up of advisors that want to hone their skills better through the eMoney Summit. And we want to make sure that we get as many folks there, whether it's virtual or in person in the future. But that's something that we've learned and we think is a really good outcome.
Yeah, I'm sure it would seem like taking a step backwards because it's a technological move, and then you wouldn't want to go back to less technology, I guess, or less of an option. Mm-hmm. So where do you see eMoney in the next few years? What's the best case scenario?
Oh gosh, best case scenario is we're serving all 300,000 advisors in the industry. but that's you know, that's sort of out there as a long-term objective. I think we continue to grow. Listen, in the past 5 years alone, we've more than doubled the number of end clients or households that have financial plans because of eMoney. So when we think about our benchmark for success, it's not just selling a software license to advisor. It's how are we impacting the ultimate outcomes of those households they serve. And so when we start to look at the data of the number of clients that are engaged with their advisor using our technology, that to us is what we measure success on, because it means advisors are adopting their technology and their clients are seeing value. So, you know, if you ask me, you know, we've doubled in the past couple of years to just shy of 5 million customer households that we serve today. I think we're on our way to 10 and maybe more through tools like Incentive. In all of it, again, I mean this dearly, is that it all comes down to, are we helping a client and their advisor drive better financial outcomes? And that's what success is for e-money.
And it wouldn't make sense, like with so many fintechs where they're rebundling or offering the whole financial package, like you start offering bank accounts and you start checking and bill pay management. That wouldn't make sense for your product, you think?
Well, that's a really good example of something that we look more for partnerships. Because again, our core is financial planning. That's our craft, and that's what we're really good at. I think payments, there's a lot of really good providers in that space that, we would like to. In fact, working with some today on connecting payments and money movement into technologies like Incentive. The reason for that, though, is because with a tool like Incentive, we're trying to create better habits by nudging folks to maybe save a little money this week from not dining out. We want to make it sort of that behavior turn into something that's more real time to be able to take action, be able to sort of take that $10 savings from not eating out lunch today or this week and, put it into emergency savings or savings. So to us, that's the right level of partnerships is being able to find these right partners in the ecosystem that can help create a really seamless end-to-end experience for our advisors and their clients.
Yeah, those nudges can be very powerful, apparently.
Yeah.
Isn't there that book called Nudge?
Yes.
Is that what it is, Steve? I think Steve knows all the.
I
know all the books.
Yeah. He knows books. Well, great. It sounds like you guys are doing a great job trying to keep us financially responsible or providing the tools at least for it. So keep up the good work.
Yeah. Our mission is to help more people talk about money, and success for us is more financial plans for more people. It's a pretty simple model, and we have 800 people at eMoney that are solely focused on helping drive those outcomes.
Great. Well, that's Ed O'Brien, the CEO of eMoney Advisor. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news, and thank you for listening.